This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to this WSOY stream. For more local information, including reports, tips, and help with the COVID-19 virus, visit nowdecatur.com. Now to your stream, brought to you by Hickory Point Bank. Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
And the Illinois Department of Transportation negotiated the agreement. The state of Illinois is preparing a railway highway crossing program agreement for Federal Highway Administration funding. The result is not only an agreement to fix the surface of the crossing, but also to replace the existing circuitry and signals that will be beneficial to both the railroad and the motorists. The improvements are set for next spring.
You know, I just think it's important that we all take the initiative if we see a problem, and you can make a difference. It may take a while, but you have to be patient and persistent.
To listen to the full interviews with Lloyd Holman and Marcy Rood, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
13 days to go. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
I'm not just running against Biden, Sleepy Joe.
President Trump campaigning in Erie, Pennsylvania.
I'm running against the corrupt media, the big tech giants, the Washington swamp. And the Democrat Party is a part of all of them.
And when it comes to the media, he told supporters,
you have to watch what we do to 60 Minutes. You'll get such a kick out of it. You're going to get a kick out of it.
Referring to an interview he also tweeted about, the president wrote he's considering, for the sake of accuracy, posting his CBS interview prior to Sunday's airtime, calling it biased. He reportedly walked away from it, then complained it was a terrible election intrusion that should be compared to recent Biden interviews. Now, his Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, will get some help today from his former boss. Fox's Tanya J. Powers has more live.
Today, former President Barack Obama is holding his first in-person event for his former VP today in Philadelphia after posting an appeal to voters on Twitter.
In times as polarized as these, your vote doesn't just matter. It matters more than ever before. And to change the game on any of the issues we care about, Joe Biden needs your vote.
It won't be a packed-in crowd, but a drive-in rally where supporters will hear him over the radio inside their cars. His visit underscores the importance Pennsylvania plays in this race, Dave.
Don, your early voting starts today in neighboring West Virginia. The U.S. Elections Project tracker reports nearly 38 million Americans have already voted, on pace for a record. The coronavirus has been spreading more in the U.S. this month. Philadelphia's health commissioner, Dr. Thomas Farley.
Any setting indoors when people are close together, not wearing masks, such as the time when they're getting together over lunch, is going to be a high-risk setting. And so workplaces is something we're concerned about right now.
Now, the CDC reports there are nearly 300,000 more deaths so far in 2020 in the U.S. than a typical year would have, two-thirds of them directly attributed to the coronavirus. America's listening to Fox News.
At Fisher Investments, we do things differently, and other money managers don't understand why.
Because our way works great for us.
But it may not work for your clients. That's why Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor.
So, what do you provide? Cookie-cutter portfolios like the rest of us?
No cookie-cutter portfolios here. Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to meet each client's goals and needs.
But you do sell investments that earn you high commissions, right? And make commissions when you make trades for your clients?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission investment products, and we never earn commissions on trades.
So what's in it for you?
Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when our clients do better. When it comes to helping clients achieve a comfortable retirement, we're clearly different. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
Well, they blew past the House Speaker's supposed deadline yesterday to get a deal before the election on more Corona financial aid for Americans, but she is still talking with the White House.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will resume negotiations today after a 45-minute conversation yesterday provided what a spokesperson for Pelosi called more clarity in common ground. A final agreement could top $2 trillion in coronavirus-related spending and economic stimulus, a figure far higher than the $500 billion measure Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is offering today.
It does address an awful lot of things that we do agree on.
McConnell says if a presidentially supported bill wins House approval, the Senate would, at some point, consider it. on Capitol Hill. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Now on Wall Street this morning, we haven't seen stocks move, futures move too much ahead of the opening bell. Markets have been mixed overseas. It's the beginning of the end of baseball's corona-shortened season.
The L.A. Dodgers bring the bats to take Game 1.
And he pulls one into right center. Back at the track, at the wall.
Call courtesy of Fox, Cody Bellinger, who dislocated his shoulder celebrating his go-ahead home run in Game 7 of the NLCS, delivers through the pain to put the Dodgers on the board with a two-run shot Tuesday. L.A. would add a four-run fifth inning as the Dodgers defeat the Tampa Bay Rays 8-3 to take the World Series opener. Max Muncy would also have two RBIs in the victory, while Clayton Kershaw would come through with a strong performance on the mound, six innings of work and eight strikeouts in the win. Game 2 of the World Series coming up Wednesday night. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Epsilon is now a hurricane. The 10th one in this busy season in the Atlantic that has storms now named for Greek alphabet letters. Epsilon could hit Bermuda tomorrow. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Do you know where to find beautiful apparel and spooktacular gifts? Shop on Main, of course. This boutique has ghoulishly delightful sweaters, pants, jackets, and accessories that are perfect for most ages, budgets, and styles. And the Shop on Main staff has stocked the shop with haunted decor and gifts for your special witches. Join Shop on Main Thursday, October 22nd for Witches Night Out from 3 to 7 p.m. Don't be frightened away. Come to play. Shop on Main, 407 North Main Street, downtown Decatur. Modern looks, old-fashioned pamper.
Good morning. Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Tonight there's a slight chance of some rain and mostly cloudy with a low around 55. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82 and wind gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. For Friday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 70. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 50 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, October 21st edition of Byers and Company. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will be with us this hour. Senator Andy Menar a little bit later today, plus Drew Early from PMH. I'm Brian Byers. Nick Smith helping us. Starts now.
Byers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Hump Day. Kind of starting Hump Day the way we left yesterday, right? Dreary, dark, and a little damp. Chance for rain again tonight. I feel like that's the full forecast.
Yeah, pretty
Although we're
much.
Having an unusually warm, sunny day tomorrow.
Right.
Is that right, or they changed that too?
Well, it was supposed to be Well, actually, yeah, it's right about where it's supposed to be.
So. Partly sunny, 81 for the high. That's the anomaly this week for sure. 70% chance of rain on Friday. Get a little bit of a break on Saturday, then more rain on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, yuck. I love the fall. I do not like a wet fall.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%.
First of all, the leaves don't stay.
Right.
It is an accelerator, as we've talked about so many times, for all of that just to fall to the ground, and then you've just got sort of clogged up drains, and who wants that?
None of it.
All right. How you doing this morning? Did you have a good Tuesday yesterday?
Well, yesterday, I'm taking part in a virtual conference for yesterday and the next 2 days.
What type of conference?
It's a creative conference that I had plans to go to in California called Adobe Max, which
okay.
is a bunch of technology and art and different stuff. And I took courses from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, and plan to do so the next couple of days. But it's really kind of interesting to see people from around the world, the way the technology is adapted, and the different approaches from, hey, I'm going to do this live and give and take versus pre-recorded and all the different things. It's a pretty neat window into things.
And I think also because there's shelf life for it, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to just sort of go away because you travel to California for 3 days and then the thing's over.
Right.
I know we did the same thing with the radio show, which mm-hmm. is the national RAB, and they put together a big national show. And we've gone to, I don't know, Indianapolis and Orlando and Las Vegas. And it's been like all over the place, different location every year, Nashville. And this year it was, of course, a virtual show. And I was invited to speak on a panel, and I was asked for that panel to pre-record video. Which was nice. You don't have any attachments. You don't have an audience sitting in front of you. You don't have any, like, play with reaction mm-hmm. or any of that kind of thing, which is very different.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that was really helpful in that scenario, like, there were a couple of these workshops that were pre-recorded, and the person who was pre-recorded, it was able to sit in the chat
yeah.
and answer the things as, hey, what'd you do here?
Yeah. I was asked to do the same thing. I just couldn't do it the day they were going to be airing it, at the time they were going to be airing it, but they had the same thing. But the shelf life thing I was talking about, is it's still sitting out there, mm-hmm. For people to be able to view, I think, through the end of the year.
Yeah, so I'm sort of glad you brought that up. There's something kind of weird about this. There are hundreds of different sessions globally, from world-renowned artists and things, but they have what are, I don't want to call them keynotes, but spotlights that have Annie Leibovitz, Shepard Fairey, Drew Struzan, and some of the big, big juggernauts in the world. All the workshops are going to be available for like 1 to 2 years, but the celebrity sort of performances and speaking, not available on demand.
That's weird.
Well, it's certainly, hey, what are you paying me for? This thing?
Yeah.
Or the recorded rights?
Well, it brings up a whole new ball game, right?
Correct. Yep.
It's kind of, I'm glad intuitively you went there because that's sort of what I was getting at. The business model behind all of this thing, whatever trade industry you're in or whatever, the idea that we are all used to, and like Zoom has now become like a jacuzzi word, meaning like, it's a kind of a catch-all mm-hmm. for anything video conferencing. But you're right. Did you pay the guy to come in and do an hour speech to an audience of 500 people in person, and then you're going to just keep it up indefinitely for as many people that want to watch or pay you? I mean, it does change the business dynamic.
Yeah, that part in this creative conference spent, there were several sessions on collaborative working, cloud technology, and a lot of things that you wouldn't see that are very topical. But also, like, kind of open your eyes to, like, okay, maybe I should be doing things this way to prepare in all different events. So a lot has changed. And Conan O'Brien was kind of the overall MC of this thing. And comedy found its way in there. This guy that was giving the opening keynote said, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to give every one of you here in this audience a free Microsoft Surface loaded with all the software. And it was Conan and the CEO of Adobe. And he goes, and the CEO looked under his chair and there was nothing. And he said, well, no employees get this. And so Conan O'Brien's the only one that got the free laptop. And he's like, this is so generous. The comedy is that of a world that's isolated, So everything kind of changed, but I think that sort of stuff plays to any vertical, any industry.
Do you feel like that there will be, like, I don't know what the attendance numbers are,
like say versus the radio show last year versus this virtual show. My sense is that just from a company perspective, probably not as many people participated. I think it's all because everyone's got a little more on their plate, and it's you're not like taking the 3 days off and flying there, and then when you're there, you feel compelled to go to all the things. So I don't know. That will sort itself out. But will we? Are we now in that world for the considerable future?
Well, I think that in this particular case, you know, I'm guessing that they had maybe 10,000 or so attendees in person, you know, and it was like $2,000-$3,000. It's fairly expensive, not to mention all the travel and logistics that go with it. I know at certain points when I could look at the view counter of the bigger events, approaching 100,000 people.
Okay. So in that case, but in that, in the very situation you're describing, lends itself to be probably a little more successful in a virtual world based on the subject matter and the people that are interested in it.
Right. So their eyes might have been opened up that it's like, hey, if this thing opens back up, why don't we just do both? Why don't we try to get as many people here able to collaborate and put cameras in the rooms and show it to a larger audience and figure out maybe how to capitalize that a little bit? But I imagine you're going to see a lot of scenarios where people are finding out exactly that. Hey, this worked. This was pretty successful.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, clearly for convention and visitors bureaus and hotels and all of the service industry that is wrapped around that kind of thing, whether it's Nashville, whether it's Las Vegas, whether it's Chicago, you know, that was some of the first things to go early in this pandemic were these huge trade shows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember early on after some of the sports stuff, you know, was right out there in the front lines, you know, right behind that was these big mega shows up in Chicago at McCormick Place that said, nope.
Yeah. And some of our hotel friends mentioned that companies that were, that had, basically rooms on regular reservation for clients that come in or, you know, third party vendors that come in every single day, 5 days a week. You know, they were pulling those contracts almost instantly, you know. So I think you're exactly right, Brian. The travel and tourism industry has changed, but they're going to figure out ways to make these things. People are still wanting to be around in mass. So they'll figure it out.
So do you think, I hope so. I truly do. You mentioned Steve Horvey was on the show Monday with Kevin, who I think the world of. And he's, you know, this guy's built hotels all over the place.
Yeah.
And look what he's done with the Decatur Conference Center and hotel. You know, and I think that you can see there's been some success as far as like casino-based stuff has sort of brought back a little bit of a crowd. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, he talked at length about, you know, closing in March and reopening, I think, all the way in August and how to keep your building a facility like that, that you need somebody there 24 hours a day in case a pipe breaks. And,
yep.
I mean, some of that stuff doesn't go away, and you don't want to lay everybody off, but nobody's able to come.
Yeah, so I get it. And, you know, so you wonder how far out. I mean, you start thinking about Farm Progress Show, you know, next year.
Yeah.
You know, which would be back in Decatur. You know, did they have any success in their virtual, you know, I haven't seen any stats or numbers. I don't have any empirical data to say whether that was successful or not. But my take is, unlike the crowd coming to see your thing these past couple of days, this has always been sort of a kick the tires event,
yes.
Right? Where and I don't know that it's going to translate necessarily to a digital virtual world.
Yeah, you need to see size and scale and put your hand on a tractor, whereas, you know, looking at a screen might work, you know. And you think about some of the vehicle debuts, like Tesla with their Cybertruck. GMC, I think, last night did the Hummer, or maybe it's tonight. They're bringing back the electric Hummer. You know, you might be able to sit at a screen and look at that thing happen, but if you need a combine, if you need some very specific machinery, or you need to put your hands on a seed, you know, it doesn't translate as well.
Yep, it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out and what that timeline looks like. And then companies, as you mentioned earlier, that had hotel room reservations, you know, because they were bringing in, you know, people don't realize a company like ADM or a company like Caterpillar or even Tate & Lyle, the economic gardening around that those companies of people who aren't necessarily employees, but they're third-party vendors. They spend a lot of time here. They're salespeople. They're clients. They're people that work in other global areas. They're brought in. You know, all of that traffic amounts to a huge deal. People would always have a hard time believing every time another hotel was built. Like, why do we need another hotel? It's like, you don't understand. Monday through Friday, these occupancy rates are like 100%.
Yeah, when I was a waiter at Texas Roadhouse, Monday through Friday, we would talk to railroad workers that were there every single night, staying at the hotels that just came across the street to eat. And it'd be some of the same guys for 6 months, and sometimes it'd be another crew, but they were always there.
Right. And then that seems like physical work probably that will still need to be done. But if you're in other areas and everyone just gets used to video conferencing, some of that stuff's going to shift forever.
Yeah. Company Dropbox, which is very big, they've announced that they're never going back. It's going to be remote work entirely.
Yeah. It is going to be an interesting world, that is for sure. Well, I'm glad you're spending your time in a productive way, stuck in front of a computer for, you know, how many hours yesterday?
I opted into everything that I could get my hands on because, you know, it's this opportunity. I had planned to be in California. I'd planned to soak up everything that I could and take 3 days to do it. And I'm going to make the best of it.
Well, good for you. And I think if people just took that attitude of like literally having a little bit of grace and a little bit of gratitude of what we're still able to do, you know, instead of just constantly focusing on what we can't. And I don't mean businesses trying to stay alive and survive and figure out how to get to customers. I'm talking about just people in general, right? There seems to be, particularly in social media, everything is just a complete complaint about what I can't do instead of finding ways to do things.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because there are a few moments in some of the better, more engaging classes that I took where you learn a technique that just makes your eyes go, oh my goodness, I've been doing this in 100 steps and you showed me in 3 how to not only do it, but do it so much better. You would watch people in this chat having huge aha moments and just being like, I'm so happy I came here. We're 3 minutes in and my life has just been altered. It's like, yeah, that's what you're talking about. Like, you can just be better by finding better stuff.
Yep.
And that was cool. That gave me a nice little pick me up.
Adapting, right, and learning how to adapt, the survivors of this, the people who are going to learn how to thrive on the other side of this, are going to have to be those kind of thinkers. It can't just be, we want to do it the way we've always done it, because that isn't going to work anymore.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And another cool part about this whole thing, it's made up of hundreds of people that just want to share their gifts and create a path and help people do exactly what you detailed. So if you look out there for whatever your passion is, there's somebody that's putting out content in some way that you can get better from. And just bide your time till you get to do it in full.
All right, on the other side of the break, how many times does televangelist Pat Robertson get to predict an asteroid hitting the Earth? Now, I get that there are some people that think 2020, why not?
I didn't know that he did that, but my first thought was, uh-oh, what disaster is about you hit
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll get into the details on the other side of the break. Here is Nick Smith with your three-day forecast. Stay tuned.
Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 64. And tonight, slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 55. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82 and wind gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. For Friday, we've got a 50-50 shot at some rain and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 70. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 48 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:22. And this look at your weather brought to you by SIU Center for Family Medicine in Decatur.
I mask up because I want to keep my patients, my colleagues, my family, my friends, and myself safe.
I wear a mask because I want to protect my patients, family, and friends.
I mask up because it helps prevent the spread of the virus and keeps respiratory droplets contained.
The SIU Center for Family Medicine masks up for our community, and you should too.
Don't eat alone. Let's support local restaurants and the United Way by eating out as often as possible to support the 2020 United Way's Dine United. Every Wednesday in September and October, visit local restaurants for a socially distanced lunch or takeout. Let's give some love to these restaurants that have continually supported United Way of Decatur and Middle Illinois and now need our support. In Mount Zion, stop by Crawford's Pizza, Black Iron Coffee Company, and Solsa. In Decatur, visit the Beach House, Downtown Decatur Cafe, Coffee Connection, both Main Street and inside DMH locations, the Decatur Club, El Corral, Lincoln Lounge, Lock, Stock & Barrel, Papa Murphy's Pizza, Richland College's Cafe, Sloan's Calzones, Solsa, Taproot, and University Dogs. It's the 2020 United Way's Dine United campaign every Wednesday, all of September and October. Visit uwdecatur.org for more information. Thank you for dining united. Financing college can be overwhelming. Millikan University is committed to helping families manage tuition costs, and that's why they award more than $20 million in scholarships every year for academic achievement and unique talent. And all students receive a merit scholarship upon acceptance. That way you can spend less time worrying about what you have to pay back after graduation and more time focusing on professional success. Apply by December 15th to meet scholarship deadlines. Visit millikan.edu/scholarships to learn more.
Hear that? Sounds like sizzling bacon, right? Trust me, it looks like bacon too. Only it's not. It's Johnsonville Sausage Strips. Strips of sausage in amazing flavors like maple and chorizo. You're probably thinking, whoa, where do I get my hands on this meaty miracle? At the grocery store, buy the bacon, even though it's sausage.
Whoa.
And Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Wednesday, and televangelist Pat Robertson back in the news. I had no idea he was still alive.
I think I've bumped into him a few times digitally.
No idea the 700 Club was still a thing.
I didn't know that was.
He's 90 years old, and still evidently communicating with God, because he had this to say yesterday. First of all, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. That's what he told the 700 Club. That doesn't mean you sit at home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work, but he's going to win. That's, I think, a given. And then basically predicted 5 years of peace, a war with Israel, and then an asteroid's going to hit the earth, and that could be the end. Now, if you're going to make bold predictions, this is the year to do it, because anything goes.
Right. It's like the Jets don't have a win, and people are still putting money down in Vegas. I mean,
because 2020.
Why not, right?
Yep. Exactly right. And he made a similar claim in the past, saying in 1976 the world would end in 1982. And in his 1990 book, The New Millennium, he anticipated the end of time on April 29th, 2007. So he's gone out on this limb before. And I don't know if this is a net positive or a net negative for the president. I mean, this is like a Rob Blagojevich thing to me. It's like, yes, the guy's very vocal in his support, but I'm not sure it does you any good. You know, he has suggested that some Protestant denominations harbor the spirit of the Antichrist. He's called Hinduism demonic, Islam satanic. Don't even go down the gay road. So, the whole thing is, I'm not sure. This is one of those guys, I think you go, yeah, thanks, but thanks.
I mean, I think he is magnetic. His audience, it follows him. But
90 years old. I don't know that magnetic would be the word I would use.
Well, no, the people that are the 700 people that currently make up the 700 Club, they're probably all in on whatever he's selling.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, this is a guy who once uttered during the week of September 11, 2001, the week of, like, in the week following the attacks on New York City and the Pentagon and the downed plane in Pennsylvania,
that the ACLU has to take a lot of blame for this. In addition, now I want you to listen to this list. The pagans, the abortionists, the feminists, and the gays, and the lesbians who have helped this happen. This was a discussion between Jerry Falwell and Pat Roberts. And by the way, at that time, if you want to know what a real Republican looks like, George W. Bush seriously criticized what they said. And Falwell later issued an apology. And so, it is what it is. Good news for Trump fans. Pat Robertson said it's in the bag. Got to get out and work, but it's in the bag because God told him yesterday. Then we got 5 good years. And then it's all hell in a handbasket. That according to Pat Robertson. We'll take a break for bottom of the hour stories and news. And when we get back, we'll visit with Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. A lot to get to here today. Don't go anywhere.
This is Shiloh with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering. Yesterday, it was announced that the railroad crossing at State Route 36 and 22nd Street will be seeing repairs and upgrades. Macon County Board Member Marcy Rood, with the cooperation of the Decatur and Eastern Illinois Railroad, the Illinois Commerce Commission, and the Illinois Department of Transportation, negotiated the agreement. The state of Illinois is preparing a railway highway crossing program agreement for Federal Highway Administration funding. The result is not only an agreement to fix the surface of the crossing, but also to replace the existing circuitry and signals that will be beneficial to both the railroad and the motorists. The improvements are set for next spring.
You know, I just think it's important that we all take the initiative if we see a problem, and you can make a difference. It may take a while, but you have to be patient and persistent.
To listen to the full interviews with Lloyd Holman and Marcy Rood, go to NowDecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Barack Obama holds his first in-person rally of the campaign tonight in Philadelphia for his former Vice President Joe Biden. He says in a social media video to younger voters,
I know there's plenty out there to make people feel cynical. And plenty of people are going to seize on that to convince you that your vote doesn't matter. It's not new. It's one of the oldest voter suppression tactics there is.
President Trump at a rally in Erie, Pennsylvania, says about the Democrats,
they flood your communities with criminal aliens, drugs, and crime while they live behind beautiful gated compounds.
He has another rally tonight in Gastonia, North Carolina. The National Transportation Safety Board blames the owners of a dive boat for a fire that killed 34 people off California last year. Its report says the fire spread because a night watchman was not on duty to spot it. America's listening to Fox News.
When you talk about tires, you're talking about numbers, tire size, speed rating, load index, air pressure. But there's really only one number you need to know for tires. That's 877-5051, the phone number for Smith Tire Company. Just tell us what kind of vehicle you drive, and we'll go over the numbers with you. When you have as much experience as we have at Smith Tire Company, we know what all the numbers mean. So see Smith Tire Company today at 2119 East Pershing Road, or call us at 877-5051. That's the only number you'll need to know for tires.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 64, and tonight there's a slight chance of showers and mostly cloudy with a low around 55. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 82 and wind gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. For Friday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 70. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 48 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:32.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
We have several local races, right? Representative Dan Calkins is running unopposed, and that's okay, I guess. We talked about the number of races that that's just sort of the way it is today. You have Sue Scheer and Charlie McGorry. But I was reading in the SJR that it looks like the incumbents have all of the money, as is normally the case. Hard to make inroads. I believe we have Charlie McGorry booked for next Wednesday.
All right.
But Representative Sue Scheer, $210,000 on hand at the end of September after raising more than $132,000 during the previous 3 months. Since the end of September, the 96th district representative has also reported $20,000 in large contributions from law firms, the Illinois Trial Lawyers Association, and AFSCME. She also reported a $24,000 in-kind contribution from the State Democratic Party, which paid for postage and mailings and other expenses, so you get those direct mail pieces. Scheer's Republican opponent, Charlie McGorry of Decatur, said he had $13,325 on hand on September 30th after raising nearly $36,000 during the quarter. A lot of that support came from Representative Dan Calkins. McGorry reported a total of $5,000 from Calkins and his wife, also with $12,000 from two campaign funds controlled by Calkins. Near the end of September, McGorry had loaned his own campaign $3,000. The House Republican organization has donated $1,000 in services. You know, I don't know. This has been the case for take whatever candidate we're talking about now and just insert anybody over the last number of years. This is the importance of the census in drawing the map and how you have these districts, where you have one where it's a very huge uphill battle for any Republican to beat Sue Scheer just because of the math. You draw out the district and how many Dem voters versus Republican voters are in that district.
Yeah, I mean, you see this everywhere, just stacking the deck in favor of different parties.
It's why Dan Calkins doesn't have an opponent. Not that there's any super strength, you know, Superman stuff there. It's Bill Mitchell rarely had one. Because that's just the way the maps work. Now, are we better served by that? No. Right? Because it's not really letting voters choose. It's drawing a district that will choose itself based on the demographics. And I don't expect that to change, and I don't think the Republicans would do it any differently were they in power to draw the maps themselves.
Right.
Not that anyone can ever remember in this state what that would have looked like, but I don't think the behavior would be any different. So you have the money machine, which is the importance. You hear the Charlie McGorry commercials linking her to Mike Madigan. Yeah, there's a lot of money that flows into her campaign that she doesn't have to physically go out and raise herself. And it's a legit question. You know, all this money's coming your way. What sort of vested interest do you have in not voting for Mike Madigan as Speaker of the House? I mean, he funds everything that you do. And this is how Mike Madigan has had so much control over so many Democrats for so long. It's just a big machine that feeds off each other.
Is the disparity in cash generally like that?
Oh, yeah. Because the Republican Party isn't going to come in. First of all, their inability to raise a lot of money in this state because they keep, well, I'll tie that into another thing a little later on, but it's a chicken or egg question, because they're not able to effectively raise the amount of money they need to. They're only going to spend their money where they think they have a legit chance. And that's not anything against Charlie McGorry. It's just that we look at the math, right? And we're not going to, I mean, you got $1,000 in services. Cindy Dedrick was running a couple years ago, dropped out because she said she couldn't get support or help, you know, from the Republican Party. Dennis Shackelford, I'm going to give you a long list of names. And that's why everybody, I mean, you want that control to be able to draw that map so that you can dole out the pieces. I mean, that's just how it works. And people will say that's corrupt. Yeah, I mean, it's not illegal. It's the way the system is set up. But it's inherently corrupt because the people aren't really being served, because 30,000 people vote for Mike Madigan to be reelected in his district, and then he has control over the entire rest of the Democratic House to make sure that he has the power. You don't ever get a vote for Mike Madigan or not vote for Mike Madigan.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. So in these elections, in this particular one, is that going to receive a handful of 1,000 votes, 20,000, 500? If you had to guess.
I'll tell you. I'll look it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't want to guess. I'll look it up. I mean, and it's a district. So, I mean, you can't just look at Macon County. I mean, you know, there's several counties.
Yeah.
But how many people? I'll figure out how many people voted in the 96 last time around.
Oh, okay. Didn't mean to give you homework. I just wanted
That's
to
okay.
Be...
I needed something else to do during the break. that information is readily available. And it's generally, it's on an election, you know, particularly, and maybe the last time, because they go every 2 years, you know, you probably have to look at presidential election versus right. presidential election as far as turnout is concerned. So, happy to have Charlie on. And, you know, but that's a tough climb for anybody. You just go in knowing that the math, I mean, it's not like getting to the World Series. It's like week one of the NFL and you got, you know, number one seed versus.
Right. A rookie quarterback.
It's hard to do. Mm-hmm. Hard to get traction, hard to raise money. This year's been a very anti-Madigan year. They all have. And Bruce Rauner was doing this stuff years ago. Doesn't translate into statewide wins, and it doesn't seem to add Republicans to the House. I mean, it's not like they're improving their numbers. But it does show you what you're up against. You're out there giving yourself, loaning your own money, you know, getting it from a friendly candidate who shares, you know, your hometown. You're not getting a lot of support from the party. Mm-hmm. And the party and the people who support the party are just pouring money into the coffers of Stu Scheer. That's the way it's going to be. It's tough. Senator Andy Menar will be with us at the top of the hour. On the other side of the Marquee Coffee break, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
So many businesses have struggled and closed over the last 8 years, but especially this year with the effects of COVID-19. What's Representative Sue Scheer's answer? Stay home and pass the unfair tax, which is strongly opposed by small business owners in Illinois. While businesses have struggled to survive in the last 8 months, Sue has not been working in Springfield, content to stay home and draw a paycheck. We need real leadership during these tough times, not a rubber stamp from Mike Madigan. Did you know our state budget is out of balance by over $8 billion this year? The unfair tax would raise an estimated $3 billion in revenue. Folks, we're still $5 billion short, but yet State Representative Scheer thinks this is fiscally responsible. She actually voted for this budget. The math doesn't work. We need a leader, not a Mike Madigan rubber stamp. On November 3rd, vote for me, Charlie McGorry. I'll bring leadership for a change.
Paid for by friends of Charlie McGorry.
At Toyota, today's the day to score a great deal. That means today's the day to take a ride in your thrilling new Camry. Today's the day to scale new heights in your powerful new RAV4 Hybrid. Today might even be the day to go as far as the road will take you with the epic range of your new Highlander Hybrid. Today's the perfect day to tackle a new outdoor project in your tough new Tundra.
Today's the day to get $2,000 customer cash on a new 2020 Camry. Head into your local Toyota dealer today or visit toyota.com for more details. Event ends November 2nd. Toyota, let's go places.
Cash back from Toyota Motor Sales USA, Inc. must be applied to the transaction. No cash payment will be made to consumer. Offer excludes hybrid bond. Does not include taxes, license, title, registration fees, and dealer fees. Does not include college grad or military rebate. Offers vary by region. See dealer for details. Offer ends 11-220.
This upcoming election, vote no on the Illinois constitutional amendment question. A no vote will continue to ensure all Illinoisans pay the same income tax rate. A no vote will prevent politicians in Springfield from being able to pick and choose whose taxes they want to raise. A no vote will hold Springfield accountable to all voters. Vote no on the constitutional amendment and keep our state's income tax flat and fair. Paid for by the No Progressive Tax, Illinois Farm Bureau.
You're listening to Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
All right, in 2018, Sue Scheer got 19,882 votes in the 96th district compared to her opponent, Herman Senor, who got 12,845. There were 10 write-in ballots, if you're interested. No idea who those write-ins were for.
That's more than I would have guessed, but that 30-plus thousand, almost 40,000.
Well, votes. I mean, but here's the sad thing is that district... She represents somewhere around 109,000 residents. Now, some of those are underage or whatever, right. But, you know, so more than you would have thought, but a lot less than need to.
Yeah. Oh, that's well put.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Let's get to Mayor Julie Moore Wolf. A bad day yesterday as we lost three residents to the COVID-19 battle. Mayor, good morning. I know this isn't any easier for you, and these aren't just numbers on a sheet of paper, but yesterday... we had the death, a female in her 80s, a male in his 80s, a male in his 70s. I knew when we were getting the report out a lot later yesterday that probably generally means bad news.
You know, Brian, it does. And you know, I think there's a tendency on the part of a lot of people to say, well, they're all old. Well, you know, put it in perspective. And I realize as we get a little bit older, it becomes a lot more relative. You know, I'm 60. A 70-year-old is 10 years older than me. Am I, you know, not worth anything in 10 years? You know, it's we've got to get a handle on this, and what we've been doing isn't working. And, you know, some of the solutions that the state comes up with just are devastating the local businesses. So, and also, when you look at, you know, when this hit last year, we were going into spring. Now we're going into winter. And I don't know if the state imposes mitigation measures on us, that is just going to destroy these businesses that have not, you know, recovered from the shutdown. So it's just, we are just in a terrible place, and we've got to figure out a way to change behavior. You know, telling people, as we have, you and I have sat here for 7 months every day haranguing people that to wash their hands and wear masks and not be in crowds. And it's just what I don't feel like what we're doing is enough. And so we've got to figure something else out.
I also think that when we talk about the three people who passed away and their age group, if you look at those age groups, those numbers are not skyrocketing in positive test results. You know, we still have something here, something there in a long-term facility, but they're not the numbers that are growing exponentially every single day. It is the 20 to 29-year-olds, the 30 to 39-year-olds, the 40 to 49-year-old numbers that continue to jump at an accelerated rate.
And, you know, when you're younger, you really you feel a little more invincible. And truly, you know, when younger people get sick, they don't seem to get as sick as older people do, because a lot of times you have more health issues as you get a little bit older. But, you know, Brian, anybody, any age can get this. Anybody any age can die from this.
Or just get sick. I mean, I've been reading studies about women who are pregnant. You look at these long haulers. You look at some of the heart issues with some of the young athletes that have caught this. I mean, it isn't just black or white that you either get it and you're fine or you get it and you're died. There's a whole lot in between.
And it's not like the flu, where once you get over it, you're better. A lot of people have long-term you know, residual effects of this, whether it's foggy or not being able to do some things or just not feeling well, you know. And so we're still learning about this coronavirus. We don't know enough, and researchers are going at it every day trying to come up with a vaccine. That can't happen soon enough. But, you know, we are going to have the controversy of, do you take it? Who gets it? You know, which, you know, I, from my understanding, the hot spots of the country are where the vaccine will go first. Well, right now, everything's a hot spot, it seems like. So I don't know how they manage that distribution. But, you know, our local folks are trying to get prepared to be able to do a mass vaccination. You know, and we've got a lot to get through.
What about the hospitalizations? There are 31 people hospitalized right now. I don't know the severity of all 31 of those cases, but are the hospitals keeping an eye on? Clearly, we go back 7 months ago, we were talking about PPE, we were talking about ventilators, we were talking about hospital beds. You know, that has switched a little bit when we're just focusing on positivity rates, but where are we right now as far as the hospitals are concerned?
Well, my understanding is, you know, they're carefully monitoring supplies like PPE because you don't want to burn through everything you have. But we're not in the situation we were last spring where nobody had PPE. You know, our nursing homes weren't equipped at all, long-term care facilities, because they don't deal with patients that have communicable diseases. So they didn't have PPE on hand. Hospitals are really doing a pretty good job, from my understanding, our calls of trying to keep up with PPE. Ventilators are not the issue that they were initially either, because the go-to was ventilators, and there will be patients that are on ventilators, but I can never say the name of this medication, Residivir, I'm close. That's doing better for patients than ventilators. You know, our hospitals are busy. Our ERs, both hospitals here, have been busy. They are busy, as I understand it, across the middle part of the state. And so we're just seeing a lot of sick people. I mean, you can tell that by the numbers. And it's not just Macon County. Sangamon, I'm trying to remember the exact number. It was in the, like, the upper 60s yesterday. You know, so that they've got two hospitals there, plus smaller hospitals that feed into them as well. There have been outbreaks in some of the correctional facilities, like in Logan. So hospitals across the area are very, very busy. I don't think we're at a crisis point. I would hope we would know that if we were, but I have to tell you, they're busy. Plus, we continue to have patients that have regular emergency situations or regular illness. We're going into flu season, but we have people who are having heart attacks and having strokes and things that hospitals deal with on a regular basis with, you know, COVID on top. Now, the hospitals have the ability to expand the areas that they put aside for COVID patients. I know DMH was in the process of opening up another wing. I don't think they were using it yet from our conversation on Monday. But the one really phenomenal thing, or one of the phenomenal things, is the adaptability of our local healthcare system. And whether it's drawing on the resources of the systems that each DMH and St. Mary's belong to, or it's just being able to flip rooms and make things work. I've got a lot of confidence in them, but at the same time, we don't want our hospitals to get overwhelmed, you know, and we could hit that point. I don't know what that point is, but we could hit it. In the meantime, you know, sickness, healthcare workers are not immune to getting COVID, and they may get it, you know, not necessarily at work because, you know, they're exceptionally careful at work, but they are just as prone to get it in the community as I was. You know, did I get it at a grocery store? I don't know. You know, where did I get this? So, you know, we have to really be aware that our healthcare workers and our first responders are just as vulnerable as general population.
Crossing is still offering testing at the Decatur Civic Center parking lot Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. until noon. They're working their butts off there.
They've been so busy. It's just, God bless those people, because those are not the best conditions right now. It's getting colder. It's rainy and icky out. You know, and bless their hearts, they're out there trying to do their best for us.
When the report comes out every day from the crisis communication team, is the crisis communication team still talking to each other?
Yeah, we have a meeting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every week, and just to make sure that we're where we are, what may be coming next. You know, the health department has been absolutely overwhelmed. They are trying to hire more contact tracers. So on top of everything else, they're interviewing people and trying to get more people signed up to do this as efficiently as possible. But, I mean, they've got a lot going on. You know, Tanya reports out how busy they are and the measures that they're taking to get ready. We hear from both hospitals, okay, what's our capacity? How are we doing? You know, where are we on this? And, you know, Kevin and I pretty much ask a lot of questions. But, you know, I've got serious concerns about our first responders, because we've got PPE for them, but they can't wear it every time and be out there. And meanwhile, everybody's getting pretty overwhelmed, and COVID is throughout this community. So any one of us are likely to come into contact with somebody who's got it.
All right. One request, just from an informational point of view, it's really tough to get the positivity rate. And that is how we are keeping score. I mean, like it or not like it, that's how the governor and the health department, the Illinois Health Department, is looking at these regions. You know, we all know what happened with down south, you know, yesterday and the day before. But what we get a list of, the total amount of people doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, somebody that tested positive 7 months ago isn't in play as far as what we're looking at now. But what we get is the number of positive tests. We get an announcement if there's anyone who dies. But if you want to find out about how many tests have been given, you can go to the Illinois.gov site, but then you don't know if that matches up with the day that we're announcing. It's tough to get an accurate positivity rate.
Okay, and here's the thing. We were putting out that positivity rate, but ours was in real time, so it wasn't matching IDPH. IDPH's numbers are, with the exception of deaths and the number of tests and that sort of thing, for whatever reason, what is reported, and I believe it's once a week on their website, and I'm not 100% sure, Brian, because I don't go there every day, but they are looking at numbers from basically a week ago. So when we were putting out numbers, they differed from IDPH's numbers. The ones you get every day are real time. But putting the positivity rate out on that confuses people because it's different than what the state is reporting out. But they're making their decisions based on where we were last week.
Okay,
so that's the reason for the difference.
I guess I get that. I just it would be nice to know. You know, 8 is this number we're looking at.
Yeah, and I mean I've heard numbers that have been over 10% for Macon, but you know it just depends on the day. I mean our stuff is real time, but what the governor is basing his decisions on or what's on the IDPH website from a week ago. So those are really critical numbers, and unfortunately, we're not getting better. You know, if we could make our case, Brian, if we could say, okay, look, all right, we had a bad couple of weeks, but look at this, we are doing better. We're not. So, it's just very frustrating because we don't have a lot to work with here, and what we're doing isn't having the impact it needs to have.
How are you doing physically?
I'm really, really tired. But, you know, there are so many people that are so very, very sick. I'm not whining about anything. You know, I'm just kind of doing what I can do. I'm working from home, both for the city and for the hospital, and doing as much as I possibly can, but not pushing it too far because I want to be able to be healthy and back at work as soon as possible, which is supposed to be sometime next week.
Okay. And then how is the council operating in your absence?
Electronically. You know, I had a meeting with Scott Wrighton yesterday on the phone, and I've sent out some information to council. And, you know, but that's really not that much different from a regular work week or regular week. I've got some calls I'm behind on that I need to get to. But for the most part, it's the same as normal. We had a council meeting Monday night where I thought Pat McDaniel was going to be able to run the meeting. Apparently, under municipal code, he can't if I'm there. So it's either I'm in or out. So it was a little challenging because he was kind of having to guide me as far as who had a comment or question and whether people in the audience wanted to speak because it's hard to tell from the wide shot of the council sitting on the stage of the theater in the Civic Center who's got their hand up. So it's, you know, but we're making it work. And thankfully for electronics, the world doesn't come to a screeching halt just because I'm home.
All right.
Not that I have that much power.
No, Mayor, keep yourself safe and take care of yourself and your family. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, we appreciate it. Here's Nick Smith with your 3-day forecast. Back with more after this.
Today is going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 64, and tonight, slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low of 55. For Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82 and wind gusts as high as 25 miles per hour. Friday brings a 50% chance of precipitation and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 70. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 48 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:57, and this look at your weather is brought to you by Staley Credit Union. We go everywhere you go.
At Staley Credit Union, our highest priority is always our members. That's why we offer free checking, great loan rates, low-interest Visa credit cards, and amazing mobile apps, all for our members. You see, banks have stockholders, but at Staley Credit Union, you are the owner. That means that we work for you. Learn more online at staleycu.com. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice, proudly insured by American Share Insurance.
Hi, I'm Liv Crabtree, and I wanted to ask you to vote for my teacher, Sue Scheer, in the election for state representative. Mrs. Shear was a teacher for over 30 years, and she worked every day to give kids like me a brighter future. Now she is working to create jobs, help working families, and support our schools. Vote for jobs and a brighter future when you vote for my teacher, Sue Shear, for state representative in this election.
Paid for by friends of Sue Shear.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiloh with your stories now, brought to you by Shop on Main. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering. Governor Pritzker has announced he will resume his daily COVID-19 briefings due to every region in the state moving in the wrong direction. The governor will speak to the press and public every weekday.
Nearly every region in the state has seen an increase in COVID-related hospitalizations over the last week. Thursday, we set a record high of cases identified in one day, and then we beat that record on Friday.
Test positivity rates, cases, and hospitalizations have risen across the state, prompting the governor to get information out quickly and consistently. Southern Illinois will be the latest region to be placed under stricter COVID-19 safety measures. Governor Pritzker says Region 5 currently has a test positivity rate of more than 9% and an increase in COVID.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.